Music just adds so much to a Sunday morning worship service, doesn't it? I tell you, it really does, and I appreciate that. And like I said earlier, if you need to be up in the choir, come on Wednesday night, rehearse with them, and get involved in this music program here at Lakeview Baptist Church, okay? All right. Turn with me to the second chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 2 this morning. If you'll just find it and hold that position right there, we're going to look at a few other selected passages first, and then we'll come back to this in just a little bit. The day of Pentecost was an amazing day. On that day, the Holy Spirit was given, and the Lord's church was born here on earth. Now, you probably know by now that I like to deal with word meanings. Words mean things, obviously. And understanding what a word means actually is the only way that you can clearly understand what a sentence or a statement is actually saying or implying. So to begin with today, what do we mean when we say the Holy Spirit was given to us and the Lord's church was born? What do we mean when we say that? Well, there's several places in the Bible where the Holy Spirit is actually defined. And I'm going to look at a couple of those up front here this morning. You won't have to turn to these, but I'm just going to read them to you. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Now, Peter had just said you had lied to the Holy Spirit. And then at the end of these two verses, he says, "You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God." In other words, he's saying God and the Holy Spirit are one. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. An example of the link between God and the Holy Spirit is found in Scripture when it speaks of God's omniscience or his omnipresence. In Psalm 139, verse 7, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, talking about the connection between God and the Holy Spirit and the omniscience there, it says, "But it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." The Holy Spirit, as God in our lives, also functions as counselor and as comforter to us. John 14, verses 15 through 17 says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So when we say the Holy Spirit was given and the Lord's church was born, this implies that on the day of Pentecost, God gave himself in the form of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct the church. Now, you know what's sad? God did that. But what's sad, down through the ages, some churches have ceased to be guided by the Holy Spirit. They've ceased to be guided by the Holy Spirit because one of two things. They've quit seeking the Holy Spirit, or they've sought the Holy Spirit and they know what God wants, but they've opted out. They don't want to follow God. Oh, I'm sure there's probably some churches still around, and praise the Lord for them, that seek God's guidance, that are fully obedient to God and his direction that he gives to the churches. And you know what? God richly blesses those churches who seek him and follow him. That type of church probably puts forth a lot of time and effort searching the scriptures to find out what God has to say about different situations and different issues and different circumstances that come up in the life of that church family. So here's the question for us to consider today, at least one of the questions. Where does this church stand in regards to being God's church? A church that is God's church is a church that very strictly follows God's word and the direction of the Holy Spirit and its sole source for ministry in its existence as a local church. Now hear me, and I want you to hear my heart on this. It's my own opinion about this. I sense that this church has sought and continues to seek God. And what thus saith the Lord is all about. I really sense that. In fact, in the short time that Debbie and I have been here, we have been really extremely encouraged what we have seen and experienced here at Lakeview. And I'm very serious when I say this too. I'm very, very serious about this. I would not have allowed the deacons of this church to recommend me to be your interim pastor if I had any reservations whatsoever about where this church stood in regards to God's word and being obedient to God. I would not have allowed that to happen. You say, oh, yes, you would. No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. And here's why not. Because for me to be associated with a church that's contrary or in opposition to God's word would hurt, would damage, would extremely weaken, if not destroy, my reputation as a minister. And would weaken my witness. So I'm serious when I say I really believe that Lakeview Baptist Church is seeking God and following God. I don't want to be a part of a church that's not doing that. That would hinder my testimony. Anytime you're a part of something that's not completely in line with what it's supposed to be, it says a lot about you. Not only about the church or the institution, whatever it is, but it says a lot about the person to get on board with that type of situation. And I'm extremely grateful and honored and proud in a godly way to be associated with this church at this time, doing what I'm doing. And I thank God and I thank you for the awesome opportunity that you've given me to be able to do this. I believe this is a good church. I believe it's a godly church. But I believe we need to stay focused on God in order to keep it that way. We can't drop our guard. We can't let our guard down. I believe we don't need to be concerned about what other churches are doing around us. You know, sometimes we can just lose focus. Yet I believe we ought to pray for those other churches who are involved in God's kingdom work. Churches should not be in competition with each other. Listen, you go outside these doors, you look around, there's plenty of lost people. There's enough lost people to fill up every church in Union County and still have lost people wanting to get in. So we don't need to be concerned about what other churches are doing. We need to pray for them. Those who are not doing what they should be doing, we need to pray for those churches as well. This past Monday morning, I was thinking about the message for today. And just to share with you, I had a doctor's appointment this past Monday morning scheduled for 8:15. It was one of those fasting appointments, you know, where you stay up till 11:55 at night eating. You've been there. I know. Some of you've been there. You may have an appointment in the morning. I know 11:55 tonight, you're going to be in the kitchen. But I was fasting. I got up early. I was going to leave home about 7:30 to get to the appointment at 8:15. I was sitting there actually reading my Bible at that time. The phone rang. It was the doctor's office. Don't come this morning. The doctor's not going to be in. Well, as I was walking to the kitchen, I started thinking about, God, what would you have me to say this coming Sunday? And you know what? It was like God spoke through that phone call to me The church needs a wellness appointment. The church needs a checkup. The church needs a follow-up. You know, we need to have a follow-up visit from time to time, in front of God, in front of His Word, just to make certain that we're still on track, that we're heading in the right direction. So this morning, let's look at some things that I believe will help facilitate a wellness checkup for Lakeview Baptist Church, or any church as far as that goes. The church on the day of Pentecost was a church operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that the proper description of this church? The early church was a church on mission, taking the gospel to a lost world. Keep in mind, it doesn't matter if it's a work day at someone's house or if it's a mission trip to Kenya. The most important thing is to make much of Jesus. To make much of Jesus. While you're there doing ministering, talk about Him. Share what He's done in your life, what He's done in your family. Share that Jesus loves and has provided forgiveness for sins, and that's all through His death and burial and resurrection. God's free gift of salvation and eternal life is available to whoever you are talking to or whoever you are ministering to. It's available to them. And remember, I keep telling you, we have to be intentional with sharing Jesus. We have to be intentional. The church on the day of Pentecost was a church excited about its Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you should be excited about this church. You should be excited about what this church is doing. You should be excited about what this church offers to the community. You should be excited about those things. But the biggest excitement should be by far about the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be excited about Him. The church on the day of Pentecost was a church committed to holiness and to obedience to the Word of God. We're all sinners. Those of us who are saved are sinners, but we're sinners saved by God's grace. Every day, as we get into God's Word and as we spend time praying and becoming more and more committed to Him by doing those things. As you get into God's Word and as you pray, you become more and more committed to Him. You become more and more holy. You become more determined to be obedient to Him. The early church was a church that was hated by the world. Hated by the world, but it was steadfast even in the face of persecution. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be hated by the world? You know, I keep hearing, and I heard for a number of years, and you have too, it's going to come to that one day. It's going to come to that. Well, friends, it's already here. It's already here. The world doesn't like us. And you know, right here in what we call Sweet Union County, there's Christians already being persecuted. It's not going to happen. It's happening. The church on the day of Pentecost was a church that was growing. God added to it daily. Are you ready to do the things and willing to do the things that it takes to see this church grow, whatever it might be? Are you willing to faithfully, day after day, week after week, invite and pray and invite and pray to see people come to know a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? To see them come into this church and be discipled and to grow, and as disciples go back out and do the same thing that led them to the church? Invite, pray. Remember, this is a wellness check. We want to see how we're doing. The early church was a church that enjoyed the presence and the power of God. The church described in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost was unlike any church the world had ever seen, or quite honestly, unlike a church the world will ever see again. This church here at Lakeview has that same potential because that same power is available still to us today. Let's look at some of the characteristics of the church here in the book of Acts. We're going to look at that scripture I asked you to turn to earlier, Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 44. 44 through 46. Let me read it for you. Now to all who believed, Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now skip over to chapter 4 of Acts, chapter 4, verse 32. Just a page over, probably. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. They were united. They loved one another. They were being persecuted for their faith, and many were losing their jobs. Others were being forced out of their houses. They were poverty-stricken, but the people there in the early church, they rallied together. They sold their possessions. They gave in order to meet the needs of other believers. Acts 2:46 says that they were in one accord. Acts 4:32 says they were of one heart and one soul. They had their faith in God in common. They stood with each other, not against each other. They presented a united front to the hostile and sinful world that viewed them. The church was united. The church was also committed. Acts 2:42 says, so they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They continued daily, not just when they felt like it, but daily. They were committed to their worship of God. They met together every single day. Did you hear that? Every single day to worship and honor God. Get that in your head. They didn't just go just on Sunday. They went to church every single day. Now, I know some of you, after that barbecue, you felt like you'd been here a week. But these folks, this was their habit. This is what they did. They were there every single day. They were committed in the face of persecution and the hatred. Acts chapter 7 contains the story of Stephen, who was stoned to death for his faith. Acts chapters 4 and 5 tells the story of how Peter and John were arrested and beaten for their preaching. And don't you get any ideas, okay? Acts chapter 8 and 9 records the story of how the whole church operated under the threat of persecution, of being jailed, and even worse, being put to death. The church was united, the church was committed, the church was also powerful. The early church enjoyed the power of God in their presence. They saw people saved on a daily basis. Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome today? You know, the saddest place in a hospital most of the time is the intensive care unit. But the most joyful place in the hospital usually it's the maternity wing. New babies being born. Wouldn't it just be great to see new babes in Christ being born every week here at Lakeview? Every week? I mean, we'd have to hand out a dictionary on church terms, I know, but wouldn't it just be an opportunity to disciple new Christians? It is an opportunity. And you keep inviting, you keep praying, you keep witnessing. God will send people into this church that we can minister to, that we can disciple. Not for our glory, not for any individual's glory, but for God's glory. I'm encouraging people to come. I can't tell you how many people just since last Sunday I have seen and invited. Thursday, Friday afternoon, I got home, and Debbie and I had to run into town, so we got back home, and my neighbor had just driven into his yard, and I know that he's not in church anywhere. And I went over there and talked to him. We had a Facebook post this week thanking God for becoming interim pastor here. And he had liked, made a comment, I think, on that post on Facebook. So I knew he knew what was going on in our lives. So I went over and invited him and his whole family to come. I haven't seen them here today, but he says, I am going to surprise you. I'm going to come. So I don't know when, but I'm going to keep asking him. I didn't see you this Sunday. What about next Sunday? But listen, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional. You know, sometimes during the wellness checks, you find out things that are going on that you didn't know was going on. So this is a wellness check. Keep that in mind. You know, we thought we were doing pretty good in most areas, and then all of a sudden, here's the doctor come walking in and say, well, you know, right here, you know. That's what a wellness check is all about. It's to help us to find areas that we need to improve in. And I pray and believe and trust that you'll work along with me to see more and more people come into Lakeview. You know, sometimes it's due to our lack of belief, our lack of prayer, or our lack of work that we don't see these things happening. When you pray, think about this. I know on Wednesday night, Brother Tommy does the Bible study, and always someone is there recording the names for prayer on the board there. When you pray, do you really expect God to bring healing to these individuals? When you pray for something at home, do you really expect God to answer those prayers? That's why pray if you're not going to expect? Why invite if you're not going to expect? The early church turned the world upside down. Acts 17:6 describes the early church members as ones who literally turned the world upside down. And you know, if you're going to do something like that here at Lakeview, you might as well start right here in this community, right here in this county, right here in neighboring communities and neighboring counties. It's a good place to start. But you know what? I'll tell you another place to start. On your Sunday school class rolls, on your church rolls. You say, well, I thought they went somewhere. You don't know. They may not be going anywhere. In fact, I ran into somebody who is a member here just recently, and I asked him, I said, but you know, I don't know, but are you still attending Lakeview? No. Well, I'd love to have you come back. There's a missionary feel right here on the roll books of this church. The Church of Acts was aggressive. Wow, were they aggressive. They were actively sharing and taking the gospel to other people. They were committed. They were devoted. They were taking the gospel to others and sharing it. In other words, they were intentional. There's that word again. They were intentional with sharing the gospel. They shared the gospel with everyone they met, anytime, anywhere. Peter and John shared the gospel with a crippled man in Acts chapter 3. And crowds began to gather around to see what was going on with that man. And then Peter and John started sharing the gospel with the crowd. They were witnessing the sharing of the gospel, everywhere they literally went. Because they were aggressive. They had a mission. They loved Jesus. They even sent out missionaries into the rest of the world from that point. They literally filled up the mission fields with people ministering. Acts 1:8 says, but after ye receive power, after that the Holy Ghost came upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what that means? It means here on Cheney Road. It means down this way and towards Unionville. It means back towards this area, back towards Monroe, all these areas. It means don't hesitate. Share the gospel any place, anytime, anywhere, with anyone. The church was united. The church was committed. The church was powerful. The church was aggressive. Consequently, the church was feared. But while they were being hated by the world, there was a portion of the world that feared them. When Ananias and Sapphira were killed for lying to God, fear fell on the people because of the power of God that had rested on the church. The world around them knew something was different about them. And they feared the church because of God's presence. You know, in modern day churches, churches are so fractured that sometimes it's a shame. They're not letting the main thing be the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus, making much of Jesus. In fact, all these different things that fractured the church, early churches, they're still prevalent in churches today. And that's sad. self, theology, whatever, you know, anything but God, and God is to be the main thing. You folks here at Lakeview, you've been through a tough time. I know just a little bit about it. I don't know all. I don't want to know all. But I can tell you this. You are overcomers because of Jesus Christ. You're overcomers. Many churches today are uncommitted. Many people treat the church like it's of little significance, unimportant, non-essential. I don't see that here at Lakeview. I don't see that at all. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for you. And other people's, other places, people's commitment to the church is conditioned with their schedules, their routines, even convenience. But I don't see that here at Lakeview. I see a committed group of people who really desire to serve God and to see God's will done here. Pastors, deacons, people in leadership positions, Sunday school teachers within the local church, you're to set an example for the rest of the congregation to follow. As a whole, I see everyone here in leadership doing that job. Praise the Lord for that. It's a crying shame that some churches aren't like that, though, isn't it? And we need to pray for those churches. I mean, we really need to pray for those churches. I saw a friend from another church this past week. And this person was really excited about what was going on in Debbie and I's life. This person made this statement to me about their own church. This person said, "I don't even think the Spirit is in my church anymore." You know, what she didn't understand was that really said a whole lot about her as well. "I don't think the Spirit's in my church anymore." That's a sad commentary, isn't it? In many cases, churches are powerless. You find members in the pew that are just like people out in the lost world as far as their lifestyles are concerned. In powerless churches, the church members give little or no attention to prayer, Bible reading, or holiness. Lakeview, don't ever take the presence and the power of God for granted. Don't ever take it for granted. Just because a building is constructed and has stained glass windows and a steeple on top doesn't guarantee the Holy Spirit is on the inside. It's what you bring in. It's you, because you are the church. Another thing, don't lower your Christian standards to accommodate anyone. Don't lower your Christian standards to accommodate anyone. The way we act, the way we talk, the way we worship, the way we preach should leave anyone who walks into this place with the impression that those people are different, but different in a very good and refreshing way. Without God's power, we're nothing. Without God's power, the church is really not a church. Without God's power, we won't reach anyone for Christ, because it's the Holy Spirit who goes before us to bring conviction in those people's life that we talk with. This is God's Word. This is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. And you and I have been entrusted with the message inside this book to share with the world. The very message that the lost people in this world need to hear. The message that can change a life. And we have the power of God that's promised to us if we'll just be obedient and share that word. And by the way, remember, it's the Holy Spirit, as I said, that draws people, not us. I'm just skipping all over this message this morning. God's just telling me these things, and I'm just, half of what I've said has not even been in my notes, but this has just been fresh today. The early church worshiped together. They fellowshiped together. You guys have been so nice to Debbie and I. and we really appreciate it. We really feel like that we're a part of your church. I remember the very first Sunday that we drove up Highway 601 North to here. I'd been up this way many times. I'd come into church here one time back when Josh Hunt was here doing a Sunday school clinic, I think it was. But that Sunday morning when we drove up, got closer to Cheney Road, and I'm looking and I'm seeing this structure, and I'm thinking, God, what in the world are you doing? I shared this in Sunday school this morning. God, what are you doing in my life? God, are you sure about this? What about you? What is God beginning to show you that you haven't seen before? You've been through some tough days at the church. But as I said, you're overcomers now. You're on this side of it. What is God showing you that you need to be doing? Is there a ministry that you need to be involved in? Is there a ministry that you're involved in that you're not really giving your best to? What is God saying to you? Are you listening for Him? He's speaking. Sometimes we just don't tune in to what He's saying. Or, as I said earlier, sometimes we hear what He's saying, but say to ourselves, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. That's dangerous. That's really dangerous. The early church was an exciting church. Lakeview Baptist Church, this is an exciting place to be. I have no doubt in my mind that I am in the center of God's will right here. I have no doubt that you are here to hear this message today. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a part of this family. You're not a part of the Lakeview family. Maybe you're not even a part of God's family. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. You can come. I'd be honored to show you how you can become a part of God's family. And then we'll talk about you becoming part of Lakeview family. But the most important thing is that you be a part of God's family. Maybe you're here this morning. You've been attending this church for some time, but you've never joined this church. This is where God wants you to be. You come. We'll show you how to go about that, okay? Maybe you have a concern in your heart. Maybe you've been praying, but you haven't really been trusting God. You haven't really been believing. Maybe today you need to pray, and you need to believe that God's going to answer that prayer. Whatever the issue is, whatever the need is, God can take care of that need. He's a miracle worker. He was alive in the early church, and He's alive here at Lakeview Baptist Church as well. Exciting days here and in the days to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. John's going to come. Shane's going to lead us in the invitation song. Whatever your need is, be obedient. Be obedient to the working of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words that you've even given to me just right off the cuff, so to speak, this morning here, as I've literally just shared my heart. Do what only you can do in our midst. May we say yes to the working of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Would you come as the Lord leads?
Savior, I come to thee.
Thank you for being here today. If you'll be seated for just a moment, there's one closing video that we need for you to take a look at. And then after that, I'm going to ask Scott if he would lead us in closing prayer and a blessing on the food today, okay? So guys, if you'll roll that video.
Just briefly how we met. We actually met on the first day that we were there. This was the year right after we graduated from high school. During our free time after we got there, a lot of people were out walking around meeting new people. And Danny actually came up to the porch where we were sitting. There was several of us sitting up there. And we just kind of struck up a conversation. Throughout the course of the week, we kind of hung out some during our free time. So I watched a softball game. We went and had ice cream. It was a great week. And by the end of the week, I knew that he was the guy that God had put in my life to marry. And so Caswell was definitely a life-changing experience for me, too.
So when I think of Caswell, I think of lots of good memories. Had a lot of great times at Caswell. Went for a few different years. My last year that I went was my senior year in 1996. I was not going to go to Caswell that year, but I did